When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Ealdorman Uhtred, also known in your parish as Uhtred the Godless. You are on this day charged with taking a troop of the king's men into Cornwallam and there making war against the Britons without your king's consent. You are also charged with joining forces with the Dane called Scorpa to murder Christian folk in Cornwallam, despite these folk all living in peace with Alfred and with Wessex. All this is proven with oaths, and the punishment for these crimes is death.
Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to The Last Kingdom on Netflix. So let's just sit back and see how England was born. Is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I just want you to know, Mary,
yeah,
that if it came down to sleeping with goats and pigs and everything just to be with you,
mm-hmm.
I absolutely would do it.
Oh, thank you.
Like, you bring all the pigs, all the goats, horses, I throw a couple of lizards in there. Mm. Like, I don't know, whatever, squirrels, chipmunks, sure, why not?
I think I'd hang out with you during the day.
We could be really good friends.
We could be really good friends, but if it's going to be literally a whole barnyard plus all the mice and the litten.
You know, here I am trying to be loving and romantic.
You're super sweet. You're super sweet.
And you tell me that we could be really good friends. Yeah, awesome.
No, I'm saying I'll hang out with you
Marvin.
During the day.
Appreciate that.
My name's Koozie Wormbid versus sleeping in the barn with all the creatures. Yeah, I love you, Blake. Hi, everybody. We are so excited to be delving into this episode of The Last Kingdom with you all. Those of you who are joining us here live, please let us know in the comments where you are tuning in from. Even if you're watching on the replay, we would love that. And for those of you listening in post in the podcast, hi.
Yes.
Hi,
hello. Welcome.
Yay. We, of course, want to thank everyone at jointhenerdclan.com. So, this show was a show that Blake and I hadn't ever watched, The Last Kingdom.
And never really had any plans to watch.
Yeah, you know, of course, it pops up on Netflix, like, you might like this. This is kind of sometimes the genre, particularly that Blake likes to watch. And we just want to thank all of our friends at jointhenerdclan.com. That's where people contribute for as little as $2 a month to keep this going, to keep our podcast going, because it's a mom and pop podcast shop that we do from the bottom of our hearts for joy, to connect with others. And this was what was chosen. So thank you all for choosing it, and we are here going to delve into episode 6.
Let's do it, shall we?
Yes, let's get into the show.
Get her done. So this is episode 6.
Yes.
Directed by, once again, Ben Channon. He directed episode 5. And also, if you want to go back and check out some of his other work that it's readily available to you, you can just look up The Missing on Stars, if you have that, or also The Capture on Peacock that actually just premiered on July 15th. So that is some interesting stuff that he has done. And of course, the writer is once again the showrunner of The Last Kingdom through seasons 1 through 3, Chris Bouchard as well. So it looks like Chris Bouchard is handling most of the writing for the entire first season, if not all of it, Marvin. So that is that. Your
awesome sauce.
Shields rating.
My shields rating for this episode is a 4.6. Still nice and high up. We're keeping the adrenaline pumping. We're keeping things moving. I was a little lost in this episode because there were so many moving parts, which obviously means a lot of time went in this episode.
Yes.
And I think that that is one thing that has brought my shields rating down is I'm having a hard time understanding length of time in regards to like seasons and how long it takes people to get from point A to point B. Yeah. But lots of great moving things. How about for you?
For me, I'm giving it a 4.8. I'm liking the show more and more and more. The ending is spectacular.
Oh, yes.
And there's some other... This one doesn't get a 5 because there's one big thing that I don't like.
Oh, okay. But this is near. This is like pretty much as high up as you go.
Generally,
in regards
yes.
to okay.
Generally, yes.
Yeah. All right. So we'll
but I'm really liking the show, and we'll get into it.
Yay! Perfect.
All right. Well, what's your GBG?
My GBG. My good. My bad. My great. My good is Scorpa is way scarier than Ubba.
Yeah.
Okay. You've got Ubba who like, yeah, he's big. Yeah. He's barefoot, but he spits a lot. And like, that's his way of being scary. And he has a sorcerer who he listens to, who's pretty much wrong all the time. Then you've got Scorpa who just like strolls up with blood mouth.
And like, he's quiet, creepy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like Ubba is like big in your face, creepy.
He's like, I'm going to kill you because I found you on Craigslist, creepy. You know, like Scorpa is a Craigslist kind of killer.
And like and just have not even have his heartbeat raise 1 ounce while he does it.
No.
Just goes up and just
like Ubba would have felt bad killing the king because he would have been like, oh, the gods are going to taunt me. Like something that Scorpa's just like, boom, done.
Yeah.
Scorpa, where have you been all this time?
Because
you're
joke.
Scary and he's still alive. So watch out for Scorpa.
Yeah, there's some bad things coming from
Scorpa. So that's just my good is like, ooh, I'm scared. My bad is, Uhtred, who's your friend? I just feel badly because when it comes to his girls, his ladies in his life, mm-hmm. I mean, he's just like... I don't know how I feel about you. I don't know how I feel about you. I don't know how I feel about you, but we've got this new lady. And then, now he has to like fight his best friend, the person who's been with him all this time, like his longest relationship. It's no lady. Oh no, it's Leah Frick. Remembered his name.
Hey, there you go. All right.
And now he has to fight him. So I just feel so badly because I feel like he has no continuity with a relationship. You know, from day one, I mean, gosh, you think about it. Day one, we meet him as a boy and he loses his dad, who he wasn't even very close to. Mm-hmm. So I just feel badly for him. He doesn't have continuity.
He doesn't have anybody to really lean on right now.
No, no. And then my great... is this upcoming fight with Uhtred and Leah Frick.
Really?
Just because, I don't know, I'm excited to see how it works out. I'm really, really excited to see how it works out. These are two amazing warriors. We got to start the episode with them teaming up and doing bad things together. Like, ooh, let's dress up and be Danes.
Yeah.
And now the end, the repercussions of it. So I just liked how we got to see, like, let's be besties and do bad stuff together. And then like, oh, we got caught. We're going to fight to the death,
yep.
You know? So I just think that it's a really neat bookend in a way to this episode, which I know you're into bookends. How about you? What's your GBG?
That's a Mary and Blake media commandment right there.
I know.
All right. My good is actually I have a tie. First,
you're all about the tie.
I love the tie life because the tie life means that
it means you can shove more things into the GBG, which is supposed to be a short part of the episode.
I know.
I hear you.
my tie. The first one is Leah Frick at dinner.
Say Leah Frick. Leah Frick.
It's Leah Frick, I think.
Okay.
Because I think that's what Uhtred says and that's what Alfred says.
Okay.
So, Leah Frick.
Okay.
At dinner, when he is sitting between Uhtred and Mildred.
Oh, that awkward dinner scene.
That is stuff of gold right there.
I'm going to go. No, you're not. I'm going
to. Yeah, no. You know what? I'm going to go. It actually reminded me of Breaking Bad, if you remember when Jesse is sitting between Walter and Skyler and he's just drinking the water, like trying to see if like who's going to stop talking because he's so awkward.
Oh, nope.
But my other good, and this is a more serious good, is that Uhtred, the character, is getting to a point where he is breaking. There are too many things are happening around him.
No continuity.
And I think, you can always say that he's wanted to do the right thing, right? Like, for the most part, he's wanted to do the right thing. Like, he
right
want,
for who?
For right
him.
For him.
Yeah.
But, like, but generally, he doesn't, he wants to please Alfred. He wants to yes. do this. Granted, he racks. Rax acts very rashly, yes. and he is a little bit of a mess.
Uhtred tries.
He tries.
Uhtred gets the A for effort
yes,
award.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, total mess up all the time.
Yeah, like he's getting C's in his grades,
yeah.
but the effort,
oh, but he,
A plus.
Outstanding effort.
Yes.
Lots of stickers.
So many great stickers. The problem, though, is that he is becoming less that now. Like, he is not, he straight up abandons Mildred and his kid. And his decision making is very questionable right now.
Okay.
And that goodness I see in him, that, that the wanting to do the right thing, good old sticker Uhtred, is falling apart a little bit. My bad. And this is the thing that really prevents this episode from being a 5 or a 4.9 for me. It is this. The introduction of Iseult. Iseult is cool. And I like it if we didn't have the whole thing with Mildred.
If he didn't already have a wife and baby?
Yeah. Okay. And not because he abandons the wife and the baby, because I said that was my good. And yeah, I like that because it creates a character that is gray.
Says
and,
the man that'd be upset that I wouldn't sleep in the barn with the lizards.
But the problem with introducing Iseult the way that it happened is you can just tell that this whole, oh, we're going to go out and be Danes and, you know, pillage and do all these things. That was only done because remember, like we said last episode, it came out of nowhere. It was all of a sudden like, hey, we're going to go be Danes out of nowhere.
Yes.
We can tell now that the only reason why they're pillaging and going for silver is because they needed to introduce Iseult into Uhtred's life.
You don't think they also needed to introduce Scorpa?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a thing. But that, again, I think the primary issue is Iseult.
So you're saying it just kind of came on really quick, really fast, with no payoff aside from Iseult.
Yeah, exactly. And then Iseult comes by, and yet, granted, they get some silver, and granted, he does get to pay off the debt by the end of the episode.
But now he has the whole issue where he has to fight Leofric, and he's really betrayed Alfred. And
right, but what I'm saying is, I wish they introduced Iseult earlier, so that way we can get some kind of backstory. We can get some kind of actual story between the two, other than Uhtred falling for the girl that has pretty eyes.
Like, if you had just heard, oh, there's a Briton who actually does have this, like, sorceress queen, which is kind of weird and against how we feel. Like, you just yes. wish it was kind of, like, sprinkled earlier on. Like, a lot of Christians, you know, are straight edge, but then, you know, there's a few, like, that guy.
Yeah, Peridor, King Peridor. Yeah, yeah. So that's my bad. I just feel like I like Iseult. Okay. I like the where they're going with it. But you can just tell that the plot was moving the characters, and I don't like that.
Okay. And how about your great?
But my great, I got to tie again.
Oh my gosh.
I got to tie again.
This
I'll
is
make
why
this
quick. Episode was so high on your scale, because yes. you had two goods and two greats.
Correct. Okay. But I'll make it quick. First, okay. Iseult's outfits.
Oh, hello.
Oh, the purple
Stitch
and then
Fix
the blue.
Me that. Hello, Stitch Fix procurator. Can you please basically like base my next Stitch Fix yeah. on Iseult?
Can you please just watch The Last Kingdom?
Yeah.
Even, you know what? Even the men's outfits.
I'd like a Bermuda short outfit that kind of mimics that.
Bermuda short outfit?
I mean,
outfit.
It's summer. I can't wear all those layers.
Mary.
Nicely.
Oh, excellent. So Iseult's outfits, and I don't even know where she keeps them. I don't know.
Yeah, she didn't have any bags on the horse.
Yeah, like
she bippity boppity booted. She's a sorceress.
She just twiddled a finger.
She has Hermione's little bag that yeah. stores everything. It's a clutch.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Oh, so.
Yeah, because she has so many costume changes. I was thinking the same thing. At least with like Uhtred, he wears that big, like furry, basically fur blanket.
Yeah.
And like you think maybe he's just like the person on the plane who doesn't want to have the checked luggage and wears Absolutely. All the layers.
Everything.
Bathing suit on the bottom. Yep. You know, undies on top of that.
Yep.
Let's add on some shorts. Put the pants over it. Got my jammies on because they're a little cozy. Add the sweater, jacket, parka. Boom. Now I don't need to check my luggage.
I mean, you're going to have heat stroke by the end of it, but you'll be good.
The person next to you is going to be like, why does this person continually just undress? I'm not saying this because this is something that I do.
No.
I may do versions of it. I'm not going to lie. Like, I don't need to wear a sweatshirt and a jacket,
yeah.
But if it saves me for checking a bag, I'm doing it.
Oh,
I'm doing
man.
It. But yes.
But the next one, obviously, is the announcement that there's going to be a fight to the
grand
death.
Grand battle, yes.
And I really like that because, obviously, I have invested in this relationship between Uhtred and Leah Fritsch. And not only that, it is this thing that keeps popping up, which is God is in control. God will decide who wins this fight. God will decide if there is something that happens to prevent the fight.
Listen, he has not saved a single person who's claimed that so far in this series.
Exactly. My point, Marvin. What I'm saying is, again, the show is not making a choice as to what is better. It's not telling you that the Saxons are better or the Danes are better.
Okay.
It's not telling you that, yes, God is right and the pagan way is wrong. It's showing you that these people are putting all this faith in God, but it isn't working out.
It isn't working out in the way that they expect it
right,
to.
Right.
You know, that's the thing. And so
the fact that they're putting the fate between these two warriors, Alfred's probably best two warriors, they're putting this into the hands of God.
What a waste, Alfric.
It's frustrating, but I like the fact that they have pitted these two people that are friends that I know I care about as characters. I'm pretty sure you care about as characters.
Yeah.
Against each other.
Yes.
And I look forward. As soon as it ended, I wanted to just keep hitting play.
Yes.
And I was, yes, I got to see what happens, but obviously we can't. So we got to keep the integrity of the podcast together.
Yes.
So that is that. Marvin, where else do you want to talk about? What else sticks with you as it relates to this episode?
Okay. So we got the whole, I brought in, let's start in the beginning.
Okay.
With all the faux Danes.
Faux Danes, yes. Okay.
Faux Danes drawn all over themselves with the soot, doing all crazy things.
Yep.
Gonna go be bad. It just kind of made me think. So obviously, like, I'm a professional nerd. I'm a professional podcaster who talks about television and book series. Hello. I wasn't like the cool girl in school. And it makes me think back to like the days when you'd be like, we're gonna be naughty and we're gonna go like dress up in pleather and like go to a club.
Dress up,
like drink
pleather.
A little bit, do a little crazy stuff. You know, like I was not a big time party girl. This is a very rare thing. I was the RA orientation leader, like very, very, you know, well behaved. But then you'd have those nights where you were like, all right, it's someone's birthday. We get to be wild, you know, and you might like crimp your hair and, you know, show a little bit of the tatas a little bit. And it was dress up.
Yes.
It was dress up and you kind of get to be eccentric or be a little outside the norm. You know, this is often how people act when it's like bachelor or bachelorette parties,
yes.
You know, and they just get to be a little wild. So I feel like this is how a lot of these people who just kind of followed Leah Fritsch.
There you go, Leah Fritsch.
And Uhtred. Where it's just like, yeah, I'm down. I'm down to make money and play
dress
up.
You know Ethelwald was all about the pleather life.
First off, in his hobbit robe, like his cape. Who did you think it was when we see this blue character?
I actually thought it was Mildred at first.
I thought it was Ragnar again.
Oh, yeah, that would have been enough. That would have been
just
good.
A peeper in a cape, you know, just hanging on out. And it was so obvious. Like, it took Leah Fritsch a long time to call out the person in the blue cape.
Right. Because that guy was riding for a while.
It wasn't like he was wearing black. Okay, so you knew he wasn't a bad guy.
Yeah, he wasn't wearing black leather.
Okay, no. If they're not wearing black leather, they get the bad guy free pass. But he was just right there. So, you know, it was funny because we've already had this. We had this with Ragnar before where we as the viewer got to be behind the hooded person. Like, dun, dun, dun. They're being watched. But this wasn't even, like, far behind. And then when they're riding off on their horses, you know, still there. Kind of remind me of just like the little kid, you know, when all the neighborhood kids are out playing and they're all older, 8, 9, 10 years old. And yeah. then you've got the little 5-year-old pulling around their teddy bear. Wait for me, guys. Like,
right.
That's what it kind of seemed like.
It was like the Sandlot. We just watched the Sandlot yes. with our kids.
Yes.
And Smalls is back there and he sneaks into the baseball yes. diamond. He's like in right field, patting his glove.
Not having a single clue. Exactly. Yeah. Ethelwald is Smalls in this series.
You're killing me, Smalls.
I don't know, some woman named Baby Ruth. but Ethelwald, you know, actually follows through, which shocked me. I loved when
debatable.
Uhtred said, you go talk to those Danes.
That's true.
Or they didn't even know there were Danes at first,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you go find out.
Go find out who this is,
yeah,
why,
to the ridge.
Why they're coming out.
Yeah.
And there's Ethelwald. They're Danes!
They're real Danes! Oh, but I do want to call out how Leofric, when he discovered, you know, that person, he
finally
and sees that it's Ethelwald, has no problem just being like, gotta kill him. Don't care if he's in the part of the royal family. We'll drag him into Cornwallum if we have to, mm-hmm. but this guy's gotta die.
Yeah.
I really like that. Because it shows you that, yes, Leofric is loyal, but he's loyal to a point.
Yes.
Which I think does not portend well for Otto the Younger.
Yes.
Should there be
an issue
where these two don't fight, or maybe the king calls it off because he realizes he's being stupid.
Yeah, wasting my two good warriors.
This probably does not portend well for Otto the Younger if he is to do something against Uhtred. I can see that happening. Though, I do have to ask you, Mary, is Ethelwald the one who comes and rats everybody out, do you think? Or is it Aster the priest?
It was Aster the priest. Didn't Ethelwald say, why don't these two fight? Wasn't he the one that suggested?
No, he's the one who confirmed it. He was like, yes, these two should fight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt good with Ethelwald in this episode.
You did?
I felt very good with him. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I don't blame him. Okay. I do not blame him. He's cool in my books. He's cool on the same level as Father Bjorka right now.
Oh, I don't know that.
Not that I love him.
I don't know that.
Not that I love. No, but I'm just saying, like, he's just.
Because the dude straight up lies.
He didn't.
He straight up lies. He says that he said that
Uhtred
was at Kernwit.
Oh, well, he probably was like, the Danes were there. Of course he was there.
Yeah. Do you think, actually, that's a good question. Do you think that was purposeful?
No.
Or do you think it was like,
I think he's just trying to do his job.
Because you know what happens when you assume. You know what happens.
Well, listen. I think he assumed, and I think he's just trying to do his job.
I think Aster has got some
beef with Uhtred.
He's got beef now.
Well, of course he does.
He killed all of his friends.
And his home.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. That's a good point.
I'm okay with Aster. Good for you. I would do the same thing. I would tattle, maybe embellish. I saw him with these people, and those same people are doing this bad thing. Hey, 1 + 1 = 2.
Yeah, sure. It walks like a duck, tucks like a duck.
There's really not many people that I have a problem with in this episode. Like, I understand why they did what they did.
Like, what about Alfred saying you're going to fight to the death? Like, that. And he's claiming that.
Brought it up.
But he's also claiming that the punishment is death, no matter what.
Yeah.
Is that smart?
Yeah, you got to set an example. What he did was really naughty.
It was really naughty.
Like, yeah. Not okay. You just went and slaughtered all these Christians. And I didn't even ask you to.
That's a good point.
And you went just to like go steal stuff.
And that's why I think I get uncomfortable with the whole decision-making process, at least in terms of the writing itself.
I'm not saying it's right.
No. Just like the writing. It just feels like they made them do this because they needed these things
to
happen. Well,
also his wife is just in his ear the whole time. Psst, 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 I hate Uhtred.
Yeah.
Kill him.
Ailsworth is not great.
No.
Dude, she...
Not great, Bob.
I am out on Ailsworth.
She needs a vacation. Maybe she's just too uptight. She's got all those kids running around.
She needs a minute with Mary.
Oh, hey, you know, just a little spa day. A little spa day. So this episode, this is where I'm getting at the where I don't really understand the length of time. And maybe if I just look at a map, I can understand how far apart things are. how long that would take on horseback.
Yeah.
But, you know, we go from making this plan, eating dinner with Mildred.
Yeah.
Right? And having that really awkward dinner and then going and breaking into, what did they say, five different days,
yeah.
They five said, different towns, I thought they tried.
They said they've been, they were doing it for 5 days.
For 5 days, okay.
And they had nothing.
And then they go and they, everything happens with Bloodmouth guy.
Scorpa. Yep.
Yeah, I'm worried about Scorpa.
Yeah, Scorpa is bad news. Scorpa is bad news. And you know, the a great thing about the direction of the battle isn't necessarily that you could tell where you were at all times, because it was certainly shot, you know, handheld, right in your face. You were in it. Mm-hmm. But something that I noticed that was really cool was the battle was shot in a way that everybody was, it was straight on. Like you were looking at it straight on, eye level. But you were in it. But each time they showed Leah Fritsch and Uhtred, it was an upshot. So even
these glorified heroes,
right? Even though they're doing something wrong, you're still looking at them in a heroic manner. You're mm-hmm. still looking at them with the hero shot.
Way to go, guys! Keep killing these people.
And I thought that was an excellent take on how to portray Leah Fritsch and Uhtred, even though they just betrayed King Peridor, and they're like, "Yeah, we're gonna kill all these dudes." You're still looking at them in a heroic manner. And there's another great thing that happens throughout this episode, too, in terms of the visual language. Each of the main transitions of the episode, it is shot from like a crane shot or a drone shot looking directly down.
Okay.
Now, this show has been known to do these direct down shots, mm-hmm. but this felt very purposeful. There were four main overhead shots, which
my
was...
Gosh. I love that you like kept track of this, because I just watch. It's so good because you teach me, and I know that a lot of podcast listeners have said this, that you kind of like help people realize things they didn't notice in the episode. I just watch it and I'm like, ew, blood, bad guy, good guy.
Well, that's what I'm here for. I'm a dork. You know. Here we go.
Nerd!
That's me. I'll take
it. Okay, so tell me about these four shots.
All right, the four main shots, and they're all transitional shots. The first one is once when Uhtred is leaving his home. He's leaving... he's leaving Mildred and he's leaving everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is once again when they raid the Britons. It's another transition into raiding Cornwallum. Okay. There is an overhead shot right before the battle as the two are meeting,
mm-hmm.
and then the transitions to the battle and when the split happens and they start turning around against King Peridor, there's another overhead shot.
Mm-hmm.
These shots are all transitional. They're all meant to show you not necessarily that they have the blessing of God or they have that they are looking that they have the they're being denounced by God, but it's coming from a God's eye view. It's showing you that there's a greater story at play.
Okay.
And there's a much larger story that's about to happen, and you're transitioning into that larger story with these overhead shots. And I find them so artful and they're so purposeful. I just had to call them out because I really appreciated it. So that's my thought on this.
So can we talk? What do you think Scorpa says to, what's her name again? The sorceress lady.
Isolde.
Okay. It's going to take me a little while to
get
all these new
names. That's a great question.
He like puts his axe to her. And
yeah,
he's like,
right up against her throat.
Whisper things to you. And remember, Story whispered to Breeda.
Yes,
so now
that's
we have
right.
two of these like whispers, and it's killing me because, of course, we only know what Uhtred knows.
Right, and that's a good thing. Like, oh, I mean, at least in terms of the storytelling.
But this doesn't keep Uhtred up at night. You know, he asks her, and she's like, whatever.
Well, I'll tell you when you need to know. I got serious Matrix vibes from that. Like, you know, when they go to the Oracle, and she says to Neo what she says, and
I think he just said, "You just picked him because he has better teeth."
I should have gotten that teeth whitener, shouldn't I have? Damn you, Armin Hammer!
Yes.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing, what he says to her. Let me ask you this. What do you think about the introduction of this magic and sorcery? Like, it's not much more than what Story does, I suppose, in terms mm-hmm. of sorcery, in quotations. But this one... This type of sorcery with Isolde feels a lot more intentional It feels a lot more
real. It feels like it actually works.
Yeah, like it feels more real. Like when she, I got to tell you, like when she walked up to Uhtred, I know you're my wife.
Hot.
It was kind of sexy.
She didn't look as hot after that.
No.
When she was like up close and he was like, this is my other queen. And she was like, but it was Jessica Rabbit from Who Framed Roger
Rabbit.
Like coming down.
Absolutely.
Why don't you do
yes.
right?
Yes, yes.
Like some you know, get out of here. You know, yeah that's.
She was Jessica Rabbit.
She was 100% Jessica Rabbit.
Absolutely.
And then she's just like, don't worry, guys. I know where there's a bunch more silver. I got this. But yeah, when she strokes his scar.
Yep.
Wasn't thinking about Mildred at that moment.
Do you feel... No, he was not. No, absolutely not. No. But do you like this introduction of this sorcery that feels intentional?
Yeah.
How come?
I love magic.
Good point. Good point. I love magic.
Yeah.
You know what that means. You know what that means.
You're a wizard, Harry.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. Do you feel bad for Mildred?
You know, if I wrote this show, Mildred would have an awesome happy ending. She'd go over to Otter and he'd just be her rebound for a little bit. But then, you know, she'd get the official divorce from Uhtred and then she'd go on Bumble and she would find like the hottest, hunkiest, like nonprofit working man who just loves people and wants to plow her all day,
mm-hmm.
better than barley. And they live happily ever after. And you're like, I don't feel bad for Mildred because she, you know, she did end up getting a good life. I don't think she's going to have a good life.
Not with young Otta.
No.
Because that's who she's throwing her cards in with. And that feels icky.
Well, old Otta is still alive,
still alive,
right?
Technically, yes.
So maybe he can, I mean, she's just going to her godfather's house. It's the only family that she knows. She's now got land paid off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, see, if it was 2021, she could sell her land and say, I'm going to start anew. I'm going to, like, take off and go to Hawaii, become an entrepreneur with my baby. I don't need no man. I'm going to figure this out because I'm a hardworking woman. I've run this farm by myself anyway. I can do this. Yeah. And she would go get a lot of SPF and you know.
She's got to get at least 100. Oh, at least 100.
With that fair skin?
Oh, man. Even then.
And wear a hat you're gonna have all to, like, the time.
The big floppy hat.
I mean, maybe she should go to, like, Maine. Be a blueberry farmer instead. But nonetheless, if I wrote it, she would get a new start. Get a new start.
Blueberry.
That's a thing, man. That's a thing. And they got good blueberries there in Maine. My Maine friends, you know.
Oh.
So, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen to Mildred. Do I think she's going to die? Maybe not.
Oh,
maybe. But he's moved on.
Oh, man. Because she already does make the best blueberry muffins in all of Wessex. We already talked
Obvious.
About that.
Obvious.
So
yes.
She's got a natural inclination for
she's
blueberry
like,
farming.
What do I do well? Make muffins. So, but here's what's interesting. You know, Uhtred was an orphan, and now he's essentially making his son.
Yeah.
Not an orphan, but he's leaving. He's
yeah,
abandoning
he's
him.
Abandoning his kid, yeah. And I love that symmetry.
I mean, I don't love the symmetry, but sure.
No, well, I
feel bad.
I guess when I... Listen, I love villains. I'm a huge fan of villains. And antagonists. I think they are what drive story. Not story, the character, but story. Story mm-hmm. isn't story. Because protagonists are great, but generally protagonists are, yay, like Harry Potter, yay, wee, you know, or Neo, yay, wee. But villains and antagonists are the one that pushes the protagonist to make the choices, make the decisions, mm-hmm. make the things that they wouldn't normally do, take advantage of the protagonist's strengths and make them weaknesses. These are all great things. That is what drives story. That is what drives drama. An interesting thing, though, in this show is that this show takes Uhtred, who is its protagonist, without a doubt, because we're consistently in his POV, and they want you to love him. What the show is doing is that they are not softening his edges. They are not making him a character that's just 100% likable. He is doing things that are generally pretty awful, and he's not blinking while doing it. And that's why it's part of my good, because this character is doing things that you have to decide
as a viewer.
He's doing
it to survive. Like, it was just so different back then.
Right, right.
You know, he just, like, kill every episode, and yet doesn't ever blink an eye, no matter if it was the guy who was stealing his lumber and plowing the lady like she was barley.
Better than barley!
Or if it's just like one of this king's random guys and he's like, cool, I'll hang with the Danes for a little bit. He kills all the time with what seems to be no regret. But I agree with you. We're still, because we're in his point of view and we are rooting for him all the time, even when he makes missteps.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I think, you know, the other cool thing is we get to be with him as he grows and as he ages and as he gets more wise. Right. So it is an interesting story to watch. Being our age particularly, I mean, look back like when we were in our young 20s, our early, you know, our late teens and everything. Think about how many missteps we took.
Absolutely.
That if we had to watch ourselves back in a television show, we'd be like, oh my gosh, please don't do that.
What are we
doing?
Don't do that.
Like, you know, you work out of selfishness for so long.
Yes.
And you'd think that once he had his own family, once he had his own wife, his own kid, he would start thinking differently. Or if he really did care about Alfred, he would start thinking differently. No, he's selfish, but like, so is pretty much everybody at that age.
Right.
So it will be interesting.
I like that there. We got this bug in our studio. It's driving me bananas. Get out of here. It's like flying, buzzing around my
chopsticks.
Freaking head. What are we doing? Where's Daniel-san? Daniel-san.
I got you.
That bug threw me all off.
It's okay.
Oh, jeez.
So we're going to end things off,
Hold on. Another thing that I wanted to point out, too. The church. The church in this episode, remember how we talked about God? God's going to decide. They're putting all this faith in the church and whatever. Bishop Aelwald is the guy, the money counter.
The guy that gets the big silver cross.
Yeah, gets the big silver cross. This guy's got no problem forgiving debts.
No.
He's got no problem making sure that Oswald's family doesn't get the Weregild, like, you know, the money for his death.
All about the money.
It just shows you how interesting this is between the church and England, how both of these things are arising to power, and the moral implications. You know, whether it is taking bribes or it is making sure that Mildred's land, if it gets confiscated, don't worry, honey. Don't worry. You want to know why?
It's
going to the church. Don't
Yay.
Worry. Or even things that you would think are moral choices. Mildred getting her baby baptized. Mm-hmm. Is that something that she did that is wrong, or is that correct? What would you say, Mary?
Don't ask me.
I mean, her husband said he does not want it to happen.
Yeah, but like, her husband's brand new to her, and her entire life she's grown up with this faith, her whole family, it's all she knows. And it's very, 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 very important to Mildred.
What's more important?
The
faith.
The
husband or the faith?
Faith, 100% to Mildred.
See, I think I really disagree with that. And that's why...
No, I'm saying to Mildred.
Oh, yeah, okay. I know what you mean. And that's where I disagree with Mildred, because... It should be,
and
the
I would
opposite.
Say the same for Uhtred. Uhtred puts himself and his selfishness and his quest for glory and power above his family.
Yep, fair enough.
Et tu, Brute?
Ethelwald asking Uhtred if he did a good job in the battle.
Aww.
And was I a good warrior?
That's like Smalls once again from the Sandlot.
You're killing me, Smalls. You did it by accident. You caught the ball because Benny the Jet hit it into your glove. Yeah. That's why.
Yeah.
But Uhtred's response was brilliant. You're as much a warrior as you are a king. And I love what that means, mm-hmm. because he, Ethelwald, truly believes that he should be king.
Yes.
And he smiles as if Uhtred is actually giving him a compliment.
The praises.
But we all know that Uhtred ain't.
No.
Like this great double meaning.
Yes.
Also, I wanted to call out, too, that King Peridor. And there's a little bit of a connection here between two of our fandoms. King Peridor was in Harry Potter. He was in the Wizengamot when Harry was facing trial for producing the Patronus charm. He was actually sitting next
Order
to
of the Phoenix.
He was sitting next to the lady that was defending Harry Potter.
Okay.
The witch that was defending Harry Potter. He was sitting next to her.
Okay.
So, by the way.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Here
and
you go.
Also, Umbridge. That's the worst. Also, he was in Chernobyl. He was the lead tech, the guy that was telling everybody, don't worry about it, I got this under control, blah, blah. He was like kind of like the bad guy.
I really didn't focus on his face. I was more worried about things blowing up.
I know. But there's also a serious Harry Potter connection here, too, because at the end, when Leah Fritz shows up and says, I'm telling the truth, and Uhtred, we did this and we did that, and they're holding what's called a witten. It's a council of the Anglo-Saxon kings in
like a jury.
Yes, in and of England, its essential duty was to advise the king on all matters on which he chose to ask its opinion.
That's a cool job.
It attested his grants of land to churches or laymen, consented to his issue of new laws or new statements of ancient custom, and helped him deal with rebels and persons suspected of disaffection.
Oh dear!
And its composition and time of meeting were determined by the king's pleasure. Why do I bring up the witten? Other than the fact that it just helps to decide Uhtred's fate, mm-hmm. It's because it's also known as a Wittengamot, which is inspiration for the Wizengamot.
Hey, so look at those! Oh my gosh,
you're a wizard, Harry.
Crossover references. It's like we podcast about Harry Potter or something.
You would think that we do. By the way, go to maryandblake.com. Check out the Potterverse. anything else that you got for this episode?
My love.
You know, this show continues to surprise me. First, Ubba's death. Ubba's death was a huge surprise.
Wear boots, friends.
I thought that guy was going to be the main bad guy all the way through season one, maybe even season two.
Nope.
But they
all they did was spit.
Killed him off. So much spit. Killed him off by episode five, which is incredible. And now this whole fight to the death thing with Uhtred and Leah Fritz. Good job.
Got you.
Very surprising. I did not expect this to happen, so I'm happy about that. Marvin, do you have a Destined to Be Theory of the Week?
We're going to see Scorpa again.
Well, hold on. I'm going to play the music.
Oh.
Okay.
We're going to see Scorpa again.
That, Marvin.
Listen.
Brush your
teeth.
That is an ice-cold... Ice cold take. You might as well be in the Arctic.
I brought some really good ones last time. Okay.
Okay. Did you get that out of the freezer? Did it even have time to thaw?
No.
That is woof. Woof. That is so cold. It gives me goosebumps.
How about you?
All right. I got
Mr.
a good
Brilliant.
One. I got a good one. This is scorching hot. You know what? In favor of King Peridor for being in Chernobyl, this is a Chernobyl take, okay?
Aww. Yep.
Isolde says, from now to the very end.
Ooh.
Isolde is not long for Uhtred. Ain't going to happen.
Oh, dear. Okay.
And if it doesn't happen by the end of this season, it happens the beginning of next season. Because Uhtred, while we all think that, you know, he deserves a pagan wife or he's better off with a pagan wife. No. As he says himself, like he says that Mildreth is a great person, but she believes in her God and I don't. And that's hard.
I don't think he needs anybody right now.
But I want him to be happy. Like I want him to have somebody that has his back. And Isolde to me does have his back. She understands him. She gets him. But it feels like the show wants you to invest more in that relationship than what they did for Mildreth. Regardless.
Okay.
Uhtred has to pay. He has to pay for that choice.
Her.
He stole her.
Killed everybody.
And abandoned his wife, abandoned his child.
What happened to the pimple queen?
Yeah, who knows? She's just off selling, her knitwear or something.
Yeah,
like
she left. she went on a shopping spree with all the other silver that she was hoarding.
Narratively, there has to be payback. Narratively, there has to be a choice. And that choice is that Isolde is going to die. And I think Isolde probably dies in Uhtred's arms or something.
Oh, that'd be sad.
That's what pushes him forward. And here's the Chernobyl
Bring
part. It's Scorpa that kills her.
Hey, see, I was right.
Yeah,
not really.
I know.
It's not. Nothing's confirmed, but nice.
Scorpa kills her, and that has to deal with what he whispered to her.
I'll get you.
And that's why she says to Uhtred, "I'll tell you when you need to know."
Okay.
And it's because he doesn't get to claim her like he did the rest of the gold, the silver and everything. So Isolde dies by the end of this season or the beginning of next season, and that's what propels
interesting
season
theory,
two.
Blake.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Anything else you want to talk about?
No.
That's it. Let's close it out.
So much for tuning in to this episode of The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake. Of course, your feedback is always more than welcome. You can actually reach out to us on Facebook in our exclusive community. Just search Mary and Blake and request to join the group. Let us know what podcast led you there. We cover all sorts of fun topics there. It's a great community. You can also join at jointhenerdclan.com for, as I said, for as little as $2 a month. It really makes a huge, huge impact.
Running a media company like this makes this possible.
Yes, running a media company like this is a huge endeavor, and as you know, most of our podcasts are free and available just to the general public. Mm-hmm. So if we keep you company, if we've brought you some joy, particularly in this last year and a half during the pandemic, if we've kept you company, please feel free to make a difference and join the nerdclan.com.
And of course, there are plenty of other aspects at jointhenerdclan.com that are there, whether it is special podcasts, our knee-jerk reactions, or our book clubs, free swag. I mean, you get tons
we
of
like
great
to
stuff.
Spoil you.
So that is the and early access to our podcasts. Mm-hmm. That you get a lot of great perks for becoming a member over there.
So if you are already a member, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And on that note, ladies and gents, my name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I would sleep in goats and pigs for Mary.
So sweet, so sweet. I'd rent a hotel. destiny is all.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.